Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of enlightenment, empowerment, and encouragement. So we definitely do thank God for each of you joining on today. We pray that your new year has started out very well. And if everyone has made confessions and you're standing in faith, I am sure that your new year is going very well. So we praise God for you joining. We are especially thankful for our new listeners on today. Welcome to the show. And to our longtime listeners that have been monitoring the show and keeping up with the show since we've started, we definitely do thank God for you, and we keep you all lifted in our prayers. We pray that God gives you a special blessing on today. Amen. Our topic for today is use what you've got. We're going to be coming from the book of Luke. That's the third gospel in the New Testament, the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. And if you have your Bibles or your smart devices, you can go ahead and grab those now. That's Luke, the 19th chapter. And as you are getting there, we're going to prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. There's never, ever a time, a topic, a subject that you can't pray about. So we definitely want to pray that God be in the midst and be with us for this show. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now, God. We glorify you and we praise you, God, for who you are on today. God, we thank you and we praise you for what you've already done in our lives. We thank you now, God, for being a healer. And God, we thank you for being a deliverer. We thank you, God, for making a way when we thought there was no way, God. We thank you, God, for moving what seemed to be mountains in our lives. We thank you, God, for slaying what looked like giants in our lives. And God, we glorify you in advance for what you're going to do for us. God, in the name of Jesus, we just pray right now that you be in our midst on today, oh God. Move by your spirit. God, send a word to lift up bowed down heads. Lord, send a word to encourage the hearts of your people on today. Let your word come forth on today, oh God, with clarity and understanding. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God, that your people are able to retain and understand this word, whereby it may be planted down in their hearts, God, and they are able to grow even the more, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for blessing us with the desires of our hearts, God, as we continue to seek you, God, and keep you first, God. We pray now, God, that all the other things that we need in our lives are added unto us, God. Some are sick and afflicted who are listening on today, oh God. I pray now, God, for a fresh touch, God. Some, God, just want a better understanding and a knowledge of you, oh God. We pray now, God, for a fresh anointing, oh God, for we know that it is the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. And God, there are even some listening right now who are not saved, who cannot say that they are Christians, God, who cannot say that you are their Lord and Savior. We pray now, God, that you speak to their hearts, oh God. Your word said if they confess with their mouths and believe in their hearts, then they are saved. Your word says that he that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God, we just count it done right now by faith, because there are some benefits to being saved according to your word, oh God. God, we glorify and we thank you now, God, for miracles, God, those things that we seem to think are impossible. We pray now, God, because your word says we have not because we ask not. So, God, we're asking right now, God. We're seeking. We're knocking at the door, God. And we pray now, God, that you will open up everything that we need unto us. God, we pray that you will also close some doors that we don't need in our lives, oh Lord. We just pray now, God, that you will continue to bind the enemy on every hand. Your word says that you have given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which is binding and loosening. So right now we bind the enemy on every hand, God. We bind him from our minds. We bind him from our hearts. We bind him from the words that we even speak on today, oh God. And Lord, we loose the blood of Jesus right now over our bodies, over our minds, over our homes, God. In the name of Jesus, you just have your way in our lives, God. Continue to reveal to us, God, your purpose and your will and your ways, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, we glorify you and we count these blessings done by faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So going to Luke, the 19th chapter, again, our topic is use what you've got. Oftentimes, we all feel like we don't have enough or we don't know enough or we've not accomplished enough. But the word of God for the people of God on today is use what you've got. Sometimes we sit down on the gifts that we do have. Oftentimes we sit down on the opportunities that we do have. We don't do anything with them. Many of us have been blessed in many, many ways, and yet we don't do anything with it. So we want to talk today on the topic of use what you've got. We're talking about Zacchaeus. Luke, the 19th chapter, I'm reading today from the NIV version, and the Bible reads, beginning at the first verse, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay him back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his most holy word. Now, looking at Luke, the 19th chapter, again, we see the story of Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. First and foremost, the story of Zacchaeus is not told in the other gospels. So obviously it was important to Dr. Luke to expound upon this story because, again, the other disciples did not talk about Zacchaeus. So now let's see what it is that we need to know about Zacchaeus. Now, we heard already that he's a chief tax collector at Jericho. And first and foremost, oftentimes, anybody who has anything to do with taxes is not trusted. Normally, even in this day and time, anybody who has anything to do with collecting taxes, anything to do with taking your money, half the time we don't trust most of the government. These types of people are normally not people who are trustworthy. Now, in this case, Zacchaeus is a descendant of Abraham. Now, we already remember the promises that God made to Abraham because the Lord told Abraham that he would not only bless him, but he told him that his seed would be innumerable and that he was going to bless his seed. So clearly here, we see that Zacchaeus wasn't broke, first and foremost. So God was keeping his promise. First and foremost, God did what he said, even down to the generation of Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus is an example of Jesus's personal earthly mission to bring salvation to the lost. You know, one of the things that we forget is that the sick need a physician. So those who are lost need Jesus. They need to know about Jesus. Before we come trying to tell them anything else, before we come trying to tell them what they need to do, how they need to be, how they need to raise their children, how the men need to manage their homes, how the women need to be mothers, they need to know about Jesus. They need to know about who he is. They need to know about the love of God. So Zacchaeus is an example of Jesus's mission of salvation. The other thing that we find about Zacchaeus is that this brother was short. He is an example of someone who figured out that he wasn't going to let his hang-ups, his hold-ups, his height, whatever issue he might have had, hinder him, though. See, oftentimes, we all use our hindrances when it's convenient, that is. We all use our hang-ups when it's convenient. We all use what my mama didn't do and what my daddy didn't do as an excuse. We all use, well, I don't have this and I don't have that as an excuse. But Zacchaeus was a brother that clearly was not going to be hindered. And everybody has something that they could use as an excuse. But it's up to us to get away from that mindset of making excuses for the things that we don't do or the things that we should be doing. Especially when somebody else brings it to our attention. But in this case, Zacchaeus wasn't making excuses. He had heard that Jesus was passing by and he wanted to know who Jesus was. Now, again, everybody has some things that they could use for an excuse. Oftentimes, even in this day and time, we hear people using for an excuse their race. Oh, I'm black. Oh, well, I'm a woman. Oh, I'm a man. Well, I don't have any education. Oh, well, no one will hire me. I don't have enough experience. Oh, well, you know, I wasn't raised in the church, so I really just don't know better. Oh, well, my daddy left and my mama was an alcoholic and, oh, I was abused. Oh, I was in foster care. You know, I'm too tall. I'm too short. I can't do this and that because I'm too skinny. I can't do this and that because I'm too fat. Oftentimes, we let this stuff hinder us. But Zacchaeus was an example that I don't care what your problem is, you find a way around it. Zacchaeus was an example where he was already successful from a financial standpoint, but he had an issue, like many of us. Yet he did not allow it to be a hindrance. And think about it. This man was short. A lot of women have overlooked some men to this day because they're short. Some women will not date a man because of his height. And y'all might be missing out. You might be missing your man. You might want to think about it. Some men won't date a woman because of her height. He may be short and she may be taller and he may be intimidated. But height should not be the most important factor. Amen, somebody? So I found out that he don't have to be 6'2 and above to be a provider. I found out that he doesn't have to be 6'2 and above to love me. I found out that he doesn't have to be 6'2 and above to be able to take care of the bills in the household and make sure that I'm safe and make sure that no harm has come to me. Oftentimes we miss out because we're judging people according to their heights, just as well as they may be intimidated by their height. We'll underestimate somebody in a minute based on some physical characteristic, and we know nothing about that person. That's a life lesson. We don't need to judge folks, because here it is, Zacchaeus wasn't tall at all, but he was wealthy, he had a job, and he was seeking Jesus, some really important factors. Now, it's just like Zacchaeus, some brothers who are height challenged, we'll call them, may have some other positive character traits, just like David. David was a man when he was a little shorty, when he was a youngster. The Bible talks about how he was short, but he slayed a giant. He slayed a lion and a bear. So guess what? We don't have to allow whatever our hangups are to be a hindrance. We don't have to allow these hangups to hold us up and to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Because for David, that was just the beginning. For David, slaying those animals and slaying those giants is how he got his reputation up. God had already called him because we were called from our mother's wombs. God had already called him. God had already chosen him, but he had to wait his time to become king. In the meantime, him just going about and doing the things that he was supposed to do and honoring God, he was able to build his rep up. Sometimes if you just do what you're supposed to do, God will take care of the rest. Just like with David, same thing with Zacchaeus. So today, talking about Zacchaeus, have you ever felt like I have all of these wonderful attributes, but if I just had this, if I just had that, I could do better if I had more money. I could do better if I had a better education. I could do better if I had a mate, a husband, a wife. Some of y'all married folks right now saying, I could do better if I was by myself. This joker just wasting my time. I know it's true. But how long will that be a hindrance? See, our brother Zacchaeus had a title, a good job. He had wealth, but he didn't have Jesus. And here he was in a big crowd of people, and his height could have been a hindrance for him. But he didn't allow it to be. He wanted to see who Jesus was. For those who are listening and you don't know who Jesus is, what's hindering you? My next question is, how long do you intend to be hindered? There are others who are listening who sit in a church every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, just blending into the crowd. But Jesus is not your Lord and Savior either. And you've used every excuse already. Well, I would go on and give my life to God, but I got some stuff I need to straighten out first. I need to quit smoking, or I would go ahead and join the church, but I want to quit drinking first. So I would go ahead and join the church, but you know them folks down there at that church ain't no better than nobody else. They be doing all kind of stuff. I always see them at the club. Stop making excuses for why you can't give your life to God. Stop sitting back to where you're so blind you can't see the forest for the trees. Stop sitting back to where you're like Zacchaeus and you can't see through the crowd. Zacchaeus couldn't see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed up a tree. It was important to him to see Jesus because he heard Jesus was in the neighborhood. The fact that he had to climb is an indicator that he had to get over it and he had to see beyond some things. Some of us need to get over some stuff. Some of us need to stop making excuses about our past. Well, I'm like this because a man hurt me years ago. Get over it. See beyond what he did. Get past that. Go higher. Some men are the way that they are according to them because some woman didn't treat them right. I was trying to be a good man and she didn't appreciate me and she never this and she always that. You better do like Zacchaeus and get over it. There comes a time when you just get over it. There are some things that you need to see beyond. I don't care to dwell on what I've been through. I don't care to dwell on how others may have hurt me. I don't care to dwell on how I didn't have this and I didn't have that. There came a time when I personally had to get over it. There came a time to see beyond what was right there in front of me. There came a time where I had to just go higher, as did Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had to see beyond his title. He had to see beyond his past. He had to see beyond his ego. He got a good job. He could easily say, shoot, I'm Zacchaeus. I got money. I'm the tax collector. All y'all got to come see me. He could easily have a big head. Guess what else he had to get over? He had to get over what people might think. Because y'all know we'd be the first ones to try to judge somebody's situation. People could easily say, look at Zacchaeus. He's silly. He up in that tree. He wasn't worried about what people were thinking, clearly, because he still moved forward. He still went higher. He still saw beyond the things that were in front of him, the people that were in front of him. Because he had a goal. He had a mission. He was all about trying to see Jesus. When you know that Jesus is coming your way, why sit in the church and be hindered? Because you're looking at somebody else and what they got on and what kind of shoes they got on. Or you thinking about how somebody misspoke, or you laughing about somebody else's testimony. You better get over it. You better go higher. You better see beyond. There comes a time when all you need to do is focus on Jesus coming your way. Looking at the fifth verse, it's important to note that when Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was, he saw Zacchaeus. So first and foremost, there's a designated time and place where you're going to have to meet Jesus. Most of us want to have a personal relationship with him down here. Because the news is, if you don't, you can't talk about what's going to happen when heaven and earth pass away. Because you can't say you're going to see him. So you need to be trying to see him on earth while you're down here. Because you don't want to get to the heavenly gates and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You're not one of my children. But know that whatever your situation is right now, Jesus sees you right where you are. And you can have a relationship with him now, right where you are. You don't have to be hindered. There is a designated time and place. And right now can be your opportunity. You don't have to wait any longer. Look at how long you've already been waiting. Jesus saw Zacchaeus. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus sees you. Whatever your situation, whatever your hindrance, whatever it is that you had to get over, whatever it is that you had to see beyond, Jesus sees you. And he cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about the fact that you feel alone and lonely. He cares about the fact that you even think that nobody else cares about you. Jesus cares. He knows all about your struggles. He knows all about your pains and your wounds. He sees you. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you think you're missing out on. He knows the areas where you have needs. And all he wants you to do is seek him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added to you, according to Matthew 6:33. So Jesus told Zacchaeus to come down here quickly, because you don't want to miss this designated time. You don't want to assume that you can give your life to God next week. You don't want to assume that you have time. No man knows the day nor the hour. Nobody knows how long they have. So he told Zacchaeus, come on down here quickly. See, he had heard about Jesus and what he had done for others. But it was important for Zacchaeus to come down and meet him for himself. Can't nobody else do it for you. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. Sister, brother, they can't do it. Your friends, your pastor can't even save you. This is something that you've got to do for yourself. You might have heard what he's done for others, but you want your opportunity. You have to get to know him for yourself. I'm glad he blessed you. I'm glad he moved on your behalf. I'm glad he's doing things in your life. But I want my opportunity. I want him to do some things for me personally. One thing is for sure, a person will be happy for you, but everybody wants their own. I can be happy you got a new house, and I'm thanking God he's in the neighborhood. But there comes a time when I want my new house too. I'm thankful to God that you found a mate. But there comes a time when folks gonna be looking at you saying, okay, I'm really happy for you. And they mean well. But if theirs don't come along soon, they look and saying, now God, where's mine? Y'all know I'm right. Jesus told Zacchaeus that today I must abide in your house. I must stay in your house. If you ever want to know something about a person, you follow them home. Go to their place of residence. Because see, just seeing them at work or seeing them at church doesn't really tell you as much. Women, that's why men come to your house when you're dating. They want to see if you got dishes everywhere. They want to see if you got some groceries in the refrigerator. They want to see if you got laundry all over the house. And men, that's why women come to your house. We trying to see if it's a sign of a woman somewhere through that house. We want to see if it looked like a woman decorated. We want to see if it looks like a woman left an item at your house. So don't try to tell us your sister left it or your mama was over there visiting. We came just for that reason. To see if it looked like you, first of all, even live here. And second of all, if you live there alone. Amen. Coming to somebody's house can tell you a lot about them. But coming to somebody's house also is a sign of a more intimate relationship. See, if I just know you at work, I just see you at church, we might be cool. But I can't say that we're close if neither of us have ever been to the other person's home. You know, we just cool. We're associates. You're co-workers. You're church members. But when somebody comes to your house, it's a sign of a more intimate relationship. And here it is that Jesus was letting Zacchaeus know, I need to come by your house. I need to check you out. So coming to Zacchaeus' house made it more personal. This wasn't just someone that he was passing in the crowd. And it wasn't somebody that he just randomly came across. You didn't just randomly come across that person that gave you a word. You didn't just randomly come to church on that day and the word was coming forth and it was about your situation. Nothing that God does is random. Everything happens for a reason. There's a time and a purpose for everything that we go through. And here it is. It was time for Zacchaeus to get to know Jesus. Yes, I realize you got money. And yes, I realize you have a title. I realize in your little world, you got it going on, Zacchaeus. But now it's time for you to get to know Jesus on a personal level. Now it ain't about what you heard. Now it's about you knowing him for yourself. Now, normally your real friends or the people that you love can come to your residence. Acquaintances, they just see you whenever. So that means that Jesus wanted to be a true friend to Zacchaeus. And obviously Zacchaeus wanted that friendship because the Bible says that he welcomed Jesus when Jesus told him he needed to come by his house. If you want a personal relationship with Jesus, you've got to let him come in. You've got to let him come to your house and come and stay at your house for a while. Because he told Zacchaeus, I need to come and stay at your house. I need to come and abide. That means this ain't just no little drive-by, honk the horn, wave at you. But I need to come in. We need to sit down and commune, supplicate, communicate, have a conversation. This is how you get to know somebody. And Zacchaeus, according to verse 6, again, he received him with joy. Now, in verse 7, the crowd, on the other hand, wasn't so happy. That's how we do. The crowd was murmuring and complaining because they were busy trying to judge Zacchaeus. They were murmuring and complaining because Jesus was going to the house of a sinner. So, therefore, Zacchaeus began to talk about all the things that he would do. He already knew he was a sinner. Why do we need to tell everybody they're a sinner? They already know that. Tell them what they need to do to get to know Jesus. Tell them about the love of God. Invite them to the church. I don't care if they think they just coming to hear the choir. You never know when God has a word for them. But we don't need to point out to everybody, hey, you know you're a sinner, don't you? Come on, people of God, we got to do better. Just love on them. The more you love, the more they see Jesus. The more they see Jesus, the more they want to get saved. It's a simple process. Don't be like the folks in this crowd sitting there mumbling and complaining. Girl, you know he a heathen. Man, you know he ain't right. He already know that. Zacchaeus knew that when he got up that morning. He knew it every day of his little short life. He already knew he was a sinner. But he began to talk about deeds and things that he could do, because oftentimes we think that because we did something nice or we're doing something nice for somebody that can save us. We're not saved by deeds and acts. The Bible says we have to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. That's how we're saved. But Zacchaeus began to talk about all his deeds and all the things that he could do. He was going to buy his way out of his sin. He was going to give back some money for whatever he took that wasn't right. But Jesus let him know that stuff means nothing. Some of us think because we give the most money in church. Some of us think because we giving stuff to Goodwill and Salvation Army every year. We donate to some church. Some of us think that those things are going to save us and wash the slate clean for us. It doesn't. Jesus told him, today is salvation come to this house. And he reminded him of who he was as a descendant of Abraham. He already had the right bloodline, but he didn't know Jesus for himself. God had already promised to bless the seed of Abraham, but he had to know Jesus for himself. How many people know your money and your genetics are not enough to save you? You have got to come through Jesus. There is nothing that you can do outside of coming through Jesus in order to be saved. No matter who your daddy is, you got to get it for yourself. Because Jesus did come, as you see in verse 10, to seek and save the lost. People don't understand even today why church folks have to associate with sinners. Well, how else can you tell them about Jesus? If you're avoiding all the folks that you say are sinners, how else can you tell them about Jesus? How are we going to get the message out? How are we going to love on them if you're afraid to be around them? If you can't talk to folks that ain't saved, if you can't have a conversation with them, how do you let them know about the goodness of God? You've got to use what you've got. What did Zacchaeus have? Well, Zacchaeus had a tree and a mind to want to see Jesus. He was standing in the crowd. He didn't see any other way. Okay, well, what I got is a tree. I got to go higher. I got to see beyond. Use what you've got. When Paul and Silas were locked in jail, what did they have to get them out of that situation? They had prayer and they had a praise. The Bible said that at midnight they began to pray and praise God. You got to use what you got. And when they began to do that, not only did it set them free, but other people around them, the jailers, the other folks that were in jail, were affected by their prayer and their praise. You got to use what you've got. You never know how you can be a blessing to other people by just using what you already have. When Peter and John in Acts 3 saw the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, he was asking for gifts or kindness or money. He wanted something monetary from the folks who were on their way in the church. How many church folks do you think passed by that man before Peter and John came and talked about him? He always sitting at the gate begging. You think he was sitting there begging because he had nothing else to do? No, he was begging because he had a need. But with him having a need, Peter and John didn't give him money. They had to use what they had. They had the authority in the name of Jesus. What did he say to him? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Sometimes, people of God, when you see somebody, you may not have any money to give them. But walk in the authority that you have. Use what you've got. In the name of Jesus Christ, you can tell them to rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, they can be set free. In the name of Jesus Christ, they can be delivered. Use what you've got. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to give them a sermon. Talk about the goodness of God. Tell them your testimony and how God saved you. Talk about how God moved on your behalf and paid that bill when you know you didn't have it, but you sowed a seed when you were in church. Use what you've got. They commanded that this man rise up and walk out of that situation. It doesn't matter if you don't have money. You've got to remember to use what you do have. It doesn't matter if you don't know how to quote scripture or can't remember scriptures to quote. You use what you do have. There is healing, deliverance. There is power. There is joy. There is peace, all in the name of Jesus. You want some peace? You'll find it in the name of Jesus. Use what you've got. You want more love? You'll find it in the name of Jesus. Use what you've got. You want some power? You will find it in the name of Jesus. Use the authority that's been given to you in the name of Jesus. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus, because we know that God hears us when we pray in the name of Jesus. With the woman with the issue of blood, she had already spent all of her money on doctors. And all these years and years and years of her being bowled over in pain and bleeding and being ostracized and criticized. Because, you know, if a woman is bleeding, she's not even supposed to be out in the midst of a crowd like that. But she was desperate. She didn't feel like she had anything else. She had definitely spent all her money. So what did she have? She had some humility. She figured out that even when she just goes down low, some of us need to go low. My grandmother, when I was young, used to talk about people being high and mighty. I had to get older to find out that was talking about people who were egotistical. But sometimes you got to go low, like this woman. You got to be humble. And she was willing to just reach out to get to Jesus any way she could. And she barely got his garment. The Bible says she touched the hem as best she could. But when she did, because of the faith that she had and the humility that she had for just reaching out to Jesus, because there was no other hope for her. She had already tried everything she knew, as have some of you. You've already tried everything you know how to do. You already tried it your way. Now you need to use what you've got. Humble yourself. Get on your knees and pray. Humble yourself and reach out to God. He's already got all the answers that you seek. He's got everything that you are in need of. Do like this lady and just go low. Get down as humble as you can. And talk to God about your troubles. Tell him all about it. Then cast your cares unto him. See, once she's already checked with every doctor, there's no other doctor to go through except Dr. Jesus. As have some of you, you may have gotten a bad doctor's report, but now you need to talk to Dr. Jesus. You don't always need surgery because those physicians say so. Sometimes you just need to talk to Dr. Jesus. And see what he has to say about it. Many of us need to just go down low. Reach out and touch Jesus. Stretch yourself beyond your norm. Use what you've got. Don't just hold on to your gifts and talents. Use what you've got. Don't just hold on to your ability to speak to other people and draw people in. Use what you've got as an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. If you have just a little strength left, just like this woman, it may be time for you to just now go low. You've already done everything you can. Give him your special problems. Talk to him about your special needs. Talk to him about your special circumstances. That stuff that nobody else can fix. Because we all have some situations like that. We call them miracles. But it's those situations where you just don't know what else to do. You've tried everything that you can. And nobody else can solve it. You've gone every route that you can. And nobody else has an answer. And you get frustrated with other people because they don't respond to you the way you want them to. Whether they took too long or just didn't say the right thing. You get frustrated with them. Guess what? They're not your source. Go to God. Go to God in prayer. That way you won't even be disappointed. Because sometimes people will disappoint you. But what do you have? You have the opportunity to talk to God the Father for yourself. But we have to take that opportunity. When you have an opportunity and an issue that nobody else can solve, but no, we don't want to do that. We get so arrogant and we come to church with our noses up. We can't even come to the altar because we don't want anybody looking at us. Can you imagine if Zacchaeus had been worried about the crowd? He might not have climbed that tree. And he might not have had the opportunity to invite Jesus into his home and into his life and into his heart. Sometimes we get so egotistical that it becomes less about Jesus and it becomes more about us. Sometimes we can't even tell folks about the Lord. Because we talk more about I, and me than we do about what God has done in our lives. That ought not to be. Again, the Bible says the sick need a physician. So if you know that somebody is in need of salvation, you're not helping them by talking about you. And you're certainly not helping them by talking bad about the pastor and bad about Sister Such and Much in the choir and mad about Deacon Willie Walk and how he got so many problems. You're not helping them that way. You ought to be tired of trying to do things your way. Even financially, we get to the place to where we're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, going to check cash in places, gambling, trying to make enough money to pay this bill or pay that bill. Your way ain't working. You've been doing it for years. How drunk do you have to be to realize drinking ain't helping you either? In fact, you're spending more money. You're damaging your body. You don't know what you've said or done the next day. Now you look foolish because you got to wonder who saw you acting up. Your way ain't working. Some people get to the point to where they use drugs to try to cover up their pain. Guess what? When you come down from that high, and I don't care how high you get, when you come down from that high, that problem is still there. Your way ain't working. Some people think that if I have sex and more sex and more sex, then eventually I'll feel like somebody loves me or wants me. Eventually I'll feel like somebody cares about me. Guess what? Your way ain't working. Some people feel like, well, if I blame my mom and I blame my daddy, then, you know, I can blend into the crowd because so many other people are saying the same things. Well, my mama wasn't this either, or my daddy wasn't that either, or my daddy left too. How long are you going to make those excuses? How long will you let those be hindrances? How long will you blame it on because I'm a black man? They don't want to give me a job. No, they don't want to give you a job because when you walked in there for the job, you were using slang. You weren't appropriately dressed and your pants was hanging down way past your butt. And they're looking for somebody professional. That's why you didn't get the job. It's not because you were black. It's because you were not professional. It's because you were not prepared. It's because you didn't do the things that you needed to do in order to get a job. That's why you didn't get the job. It had nothing to do with your race. It had more to do about the fact that you walked in there foolishly and just thought they were just going to hand it to you. No, you got to do your work. You got to dress the part. You got to talk the part. You got to walk the part. It's not because you're black. When will we stop making excuses? How long will we blame all our environment? Well, you know, I came from the hood, or you know, I came out the projects, or, you know, I came from the ghetto, or, ooh, I came out the country and we didn't have anything, so I don't know how to, stop right there. It's a whole lot of other people just like you that came out of the hood. There's some other folks that came out of the ghetto. It's some other people that came up out the projects. It's some other people that came out of the country, I being one of them. Mm-mm. Those excuses are not working anymore. You have to do your part. You got to go higher like Zacchaeus. You got to see beyond what's in front of you like Zacchaeus. You got to get over it like Zacchaeus. Your environment can't hold you forever. Don't let that be your excuse. Use what you do have. Use what you do have. You might need to just reach out like the woman with the issue. You might need to just walk in the authority that you already have, like Peter and John. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is all you need. Use what you've got. He's waiting on you. Many times we focus on telling God how big our problem is. But we should be telling the problem how big our God is. We talk about the problem day in and day out, day in and day out. And finally, when we're just reckless and don't know what else to do and unworried ourselves all night long, can't sleep day in, day out, finally we come back and be like, maybe I should pray. Why is praying the last resort? Why is talking to God the last resort? He already knew, but he wanted to see if you were going to come and trust him and cast that care unto him, knowing that he cares for you. When will you just stop like the woman with the issue and stretch yourself just a little bit beyond your norm? He's already got your answer. He's waiting on you. We need to stop sometimes and just take inventory. We need to recognize what it is that we do have. Because we talk a lot about what we don't have, or what we couldn't do, or how somebody stopped you, or how somebody don't like you, and that's why you don't have this and that. Jesus wants to come to your house today. Recognize what you do have. And he doesn't just want some casual relationship and passing you in the street. You've got to invite him in. You've got to let him in. And you got to do it with joy, like Zacchaeus, not reluctantly, not, well, this is my last resort. No, invite God into your home, into your life, into your heart with joy. Because trust me, once you do, you'll realize there are several benefits to being saved. Healing and deliverance is just a part of it. There are also financial blessings. So many things. The favor of God will be upon you. So many things that come from inviting God into your life. So many things that come from using what you have and stopping with the excuses and stopping with the hindrances. Invite him in so you can get to know him. As you get to know God, he gives you more wisdom and knowledge, not just about his word, but about life, about what to do and where to go, because the Holy Ghost is your guide. The Holy Ghost is your comforter. So you don't have to worry about sleeping with man after man or sleeping with woman after woman in order to feel like you're comforted, in order to feel like you're loved. The Holy Ghost is your comforter. You don't have to worry about dealing with folks that you don't even like for them to give you some money. Because God is your provider. If you just use what you got, if you just allow him to come in, if you just stop and seize the moment like Zacchaeus did, because he could have still made excuses. Seize the moment. Sometimes we're in church and we don't know how to seize the moment. Praise is going forth and we're sitting there like spectators. Seize the moment. Give God your praise. Seize the moment. Dance before God. Seize the moment and sing your song. Sometimes we can get deliverance in a song. We don't even have to be in the sanctuary. We can be at home. And a song will just come to mind, whether it's a song they sang in church or a song that just came up out of your spirit. If you just seize the moment and give God what you do have. It doesn't matter what your deficiencies are. Use what you've got. There is no excuse. There is no excuse. Stop with the excuses. Everybody has some type of a flaw. Everybody has some type of a deficit or a need in their life. Everybody has some deficiencies. But God can fill every last one of those voids. God can give you exactly what you need and when you need and how you need. So you got to get prayed up. You got to fast up. You got to believe. You got to build your faith up. Because you really do want him to come and abide with you. I don't want God to just stop off every now and then. I want to know that he continuously walks with me and talks with me. And the Bible said that because I'm his, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's right there. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is always there and he's everywhere at the same time. So because he stops by my house, don't mean he can't stop by yours all at the same time. You want him to come and abide and stay there. Why is that? Why do you want him to abide? In John, the 15th chapter, we learn in verses 4-7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and it will be given unto you. He didn't say might. He didn't say maybe, but it shall be given unto you if you just abide in him and let his words abide in you. If you abide in him, then you'll also bear fruit. Don't you want to bear fruit? Aren't you tired of saying one thing and there being no proof of it? You saying God is a good God and you walking around looking broke down and beat up? No, I want the fruit of my labor to be evident. Isn't it nice to see the fruit of your labor? It's hard to be somewhere and feel like you're there in vain, or to feel like you're doing something in vain or helping somebody in vain or working in vain. But don't despair. Just use what you've got. Seize the moment. Stop for a moment. Look at what you do have. Take inventory. Do I want fruit to be evident in my life? Yes, I do. Do I want to be at the point and have a relationship with God that I can just ask what I will and it'll be given unto me? Most definitely, yes. You can stop right where you are right now and do like Zacchaeus and just go higher. Abide in him. Abide in his word. Abide in the love of God. How do you do that? You keep his commandments. That's how they know that you're his sheep. By the way that you love other folks, love God and love other people. That's how we really know that you're Christians. It ain't just because you told us so. But we want to abide in him. We want to stay there. Use what you've got. If what you've got is the word of God, that's enough. If you got somebody to touch and agree with you, that's great. But if you don't, and all you got is faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, the Bible said that's enough. You can ask God for whatever it is that you want or need, and he'll hear you. You can ask God to move some mountains out of your way, and he'll do it. But you've got to let him abide in you and you in him. You've got to have a relationship with him where y'all can walk and talk together. You've got to have a personal relationship with him where you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. There is no love greater than the love of Jesus. I don't care how much that man or that woman told you they love you. I don't care how much your children hugging on you and telling you they love you feels good to you, because it does feel great. But you will never experience a love like the love of Jesus. We know how to love other people because of Jesus. There is no greater love than him laying down his life for us. He became the propitiation of our sins. Well, now we don't have to go to the cross because he already did it for us. We could not have done it. Adam couldn't do it. It had to be Jesus. There is no love like the love of Jesus. He gave his life for you. Why don't you give yours to him? And remember that you didn't choose God. He's choosing you. When Zacchaeus was up in that tree, Zacchaeus was just looking. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But Jesus saw him, spoke to him, and chose him to come on down. Use what you've got. Use what you've got. No more excuses, people of God. Thank you all so much for joining. We've come down to the end of our show. I will say that we do have some events coming up at the Wordful Gospel Baptist Church on January 21st. We have singles ministry, and our topic is Just Say No. That meeting is from 5 to 8 p.m. On January 28th at the Wordful Gospel Baptist Church, we have a financial freedom meeting. So anything you want to know about your finances, budgeting, how to get a house, anything to do with your money, this is a good opportunity for you. Be there at noon. We also have, in the month of February, our singles conference. On February 10th, we have Pastor Melinda Williams coming out to minister to us at the church. On February 11th, on that morning, we'll be having a prayer breakfast at Shoney's, and we'll have a 15-minute word of encouragement. Amen. By our guest speaker. And then on that night, we will have our formal banquet beginning at 6 p.m. in the evening. So you get to dress up nice, wear your church clothes, wear your formal dresses. We would love to have you. Now, the banquet is $25 per ticket, but that comes with a meal, that comes with door prizes, that comes with entertainment, all kinds of stuff for $25. And this is Valentine weekend. So nobody has any excuse with, well, I didn't have a date and I'm single and I don't have anybody. Come out and fellowship with the people of God. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. This is, again, the Desires of Your Heart Conference. The Desires of Your Heart Singles Conference at the Wordful Gospel Baptist Church. And if you don't have a church home, be sure to stop by and see us at 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive in Jackson, Mississippi, where our pastor is Elder Frederick Stewart. Also, remember, if you want to donate to Campbell Ministries or to Eve's Corner, you can send that to P.O. Box 16214 in Jackson, Mississippi. That, again, is P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi. The zip is 39236. I do appreciate you all so much for joining. I hope that you all were blessed by the word of God on today. Please remember to stop by my website, go to my blog page, send out a shout out. Let me know how you enjoyed the message. You can also comment on any of the other messages. And on that same website, you can also listen to any archived shows that you might have missed. Remember, if you have an iPhone, you can download the podcast so you can hear the shows anytime you'd like to. Alrighty, remember, keep pressing. God bless you, and God keep you is my prayer.